Perhaps you heard about the conversation between a chicken and a pig as they were talking about what they contribute to the farmer's life. The chicken says proudly that she provides eggs for the whole family when they have their breakfast. The pig doesn't say much for a while, then finally says, "Well, for you, contributing to the farmer's bacon and eggs breakfast is a contribution. For me, it's a total commitment." It's an old joke, but there is a sense of the difference in today's scripture passages and throughout the Gospels, the difference between a contribution, which is a good thing, and total commitment. Today's passages are very difficult. The theme is about being a disciple of Jesus Christ, disciple of God. And a disciple isn't just a Facebook follower. A disciple seeks to be like the one that they follow. Our Christian religion doesn't make it sound easy to follow. Walk with Jesus. Act like Jesus. Love like Jesus. Be perfect like Jesus. Listen to Jesus. That's what Mary said at the wedding feast of Cana. Do whatever he tells you. But if we listen to Jesus, we hear him say in one place, "You must be holy, even as your heavenly Father is holy." And in another place, it sounds even harder when Jesus says, "You must be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect." None of this sounds helpful if we want easy religion, easy faith that makes us feel good all the time and doesn't demand too much of us, maybe a little contribution. Do we have to do what Jesus tells us all the time? Can't we take a break and watch TV sometimes? Well, that kind of easy religion is promoted in many places in our world. It's the religion of self-indulgence. And I use that word because St. Paul uses it in the second reading today. He says that God has given you freedom from indulging the desires of the flesh, from self-indulgence. That's what love does. It gives us the freedom to live that kind of a radical life of love. There is also the freedom to just let our physical desires take over. And Paul says, don't give yourself up to that. Don't become a slave to your passions. Granted, that's not always easy, but the rewards for doing so are, as we sometimes say, out of this world. So Paul makes it clear that this commitment is a total one, and that it requires a radical shift from a worldly way of thinking through the passions. So Elisha, the prophet, well, as he becomes the prophet who takes over from Elijah, the great prophet of Israel, he will leave everything to become the next major prophet. This is not a minor calling that Elijah demands of him, but somehow Elisha gets it. All he wants is to be able to go and kiss his father goodbye. That seems so reasonable, doesn't it? However, his life will be a total dedication to God and to the people. And it requires of him a radical leaving behind of his old life. And so he gets that. And so he burns everything and he sacrifices it. And he obviously was fairly wealthy to have a dozen oxen. That wouldn't have been very common. So following is about what we leave behind, but it's also about what we do to follow. Jesus meets people along the way in today's gospel who say they want to follow him. And he tells them they have to know that it's a radical life. This is not just something that can be done half-heartedly. And Jesus at that point has only a short time left before his radical commitment, his radical mission comes to a conclusion on the cross. So in the gospel today, Jesus has his game face on. He was on his way to Jerusalem to fulfill his destiny. And the phrase that used is that he had set his face toward Jerusalem to glory, and nothing could get in his way at that point. So his disciples said, "Don't you remember the last time?" This is not in today's passage, but disciples at one point said, "Don't you remember the last time you were there in Jerusalem? They wanted to kill you." But Jesus shows us the ultimate in freedom. He says, "No one takes my life from me. I lay down my life freely. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep." And so Jesus obviously is the perfect model of the one who is totally committed to his mission, to his mission to redeem the world. And so they were passing through a Samaritan town where people did not welcome him, and that's always going to happen, that people will not welcome Jesus. People go places in Jesus' name, and they get rejected. That's going to happen to us if we are proclaiming Christ and him crucified. Clearly, Jesus healed people and freed them from demons. He touched and he loved and he forgave hundreds, who knows, maybe thousands of people that aren't recorded in the Gospels. And those were all signs of the kingdom of heaven. Those were all glimpses into the heavenly existence that God has made for us, God's radical commitment to you and I. But Jesus didn't heal everyone, not even in that small region where he walked, not even close. And so that wasn't his goal, to heal everyone. But he did have a radical mission. And so there is that point where he had to do that one thing that he came to do. It was his purpose as the man who was also God, the God who was also human. He was on his way to the cross, to the resurrection, to heaven, to the sending of the Holy Spirit on the church, the same Spirit that is present with us today and wants to free us radically from slavery to sin. Well, does this kind of religion have no relaxation, no breaks? Is there no fun allowed? Well, Luke, in his gospel, actually tells us there is, especially Luke. Jesus sits down to meals and has ordinary conversations with all kinds of people. In fact, the way someone put it is that Jesus eats his way through the gospel of Luke. I love that image. So eating and drinking and enjoying being with people is not contrary to the faith. Jesus brought joy and wants to keep doing that for us in our sorrows, in our challenges, and even more through us to others. Well, today's passages maybe demand of us, or ask us the question at least, or should propose the question to us, is this time a time in our lives for a radical shift to what God has in mind for me, for you and for me? Elisha had to make that decision. This prophetic calling was not a part-time job. In fact, it was not a job at all. It was a radical acceptance of a permanent and faithful commitment to God. He was to make every moment of his life a response to that calling. There is really nothing like that naturally in our lives. So while some here today even may be called to such a radical vocation, most of us are called to just simply center our lives in Christ and to do our best to live that out in the places that we live and move. Elijah was telling Elisha that there would be no longer any room in his life for personal relationships. Everything would be entirely for God. But not everyone is called to that radical a life, although the life of the Christian is radical in its own way. Bishop McGrattan, in a homily here yesterday from this very ambo, talked about the universal call to holiness, which Pope John Paul, Saint Pope John Paul, articulated so well. And Bishop McGrattan identified two particular areas. He talked about the environment and humanity. And so there is a radical commitment that all of us are called to, wherever we are in our lives. And just highlighting Bishop McGrattan's two points. The first one was to the environment. Why do we have to care for the environment? Well, you know, in the world, there is a great concern for the degradation of our environment. But most often, the motivation for it is referred to as we must care for the world because if we don't, we will sacrifice the very existence of humanity. However, the biblical religious view that the commitment that God gave Adam from the beginning was to care for the garden. And so what we see is that our motivation to care for the world is not simply because to protect our own natural environment. It's because God gave creation to us and has given us the care of this world. So our motivation is a total one because it comes from God. Now, maybe this doesn't make too much of a difference, but sometimes we might say, well, I only need to do kind of a few little things. I only need to kind of, maybe recycle a few little things here. But the radical commitment that comes from God is that you can't take a break from that. You cannot take a break from caring for the environment because it is a divine calling. It is a total commitment. We can never throw garbage out the window of our car. We can never intentionally do something to degrade the environment. So the motivation is from God. And the second calling that Bishop McGrattan articulated is to humanity itself. And this we see reflected even in, and it's reflected in Jesus when he's asked, what are the great commandments? Love God, love your neighbor. And St. Paul says this again today in his passage. He said, all the law is summed up in the command to love your neighbor, to love God. And of course, we spend the whole liturgical year talking about how we do that, how we love God and how we love our neighbor. This is a pretty radical calling. And so in this way, we can relate to Elijah and Elisha and to Jesus himself. A non-Jew once offered to become a proselyte to Judaism if Hillel, the great rabbi, could teach him the law while he stood on one leg. The rabbi said to him, what you do not like, do not do to your neighbor. That is the entire law, and the rest is commentary. And of course, the Christian view is the same. We are called to love our neighbor. We don't get to take a break from that. It's a radical calling, is it not? So what can we learn today from these difficult passages? What do I need to do? What do I need to leave behind if I am to follow God in the way he has set aside for me? Is it games or TV or gossip or judgment? Is it hard-heartedness, an unwillingness to be a servant of God? I must radically leave behind, commit to leaving behind all of those things. I must radically commit to entering onto the path of being holy like our loving God and Father, to be perfect like God, our loving Father, in the manner of Jesus who committed himself to us, and he calls us to be committed to one another. It's a radical calling, but it's a beautiful calling, and it's a joy. And so let us today commit ourselves to enter into this radical calling and say, it is for us, and I accept this calling, this invitation, to be a radical disciple of Jesus, to be like him, to love like him, to walk with him.